Also, we're going to do something. I thought about that thing, too, since we haven't had a chance to tell everybody, and it'll be a rush on you to call everybody, is not this Sunday. This Sunday's the first Sunday. It's the first. But next Sunday, we'll just do it next Sunday. That'll make more sense. Everybody can know about it then. Not this Sunday coming up because it's the first of the for the first. So the first Sunday, this next Sunday, since we're not going to have a New Year's Eve service, we're going to have a New Year's potluck. And we just have it right after service on Sunday morning. So that way you don't have to come back out on Sunday night. It should be fine. Not this Sunday. That way you got a chance to put it in the bulletin and you'll be a chance. Okay, well, nobody was here, remember? Okay, well, we'll tell them 30 people we ain't going to do it then, because there was more people out than there was in. I didn't know it was in the bulletin. I'm sorry. Okay, let's go ahead and get it more confusing. More confusing. Okay, the following week, that way we can tell everybody this week, and also, y'all's family that was here, just let them know we're not doing it this Sunday. And you, who else was here? You were here. I was here. They were here. Just about everybody that was here, you were here, was here. So remember, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. It makes more sense. I was sitting there a while ago thinking as we were singing, and it hit me. It makes a whole lot more sense when we can tell more people this Sunday that next Sunday we'll have it, you know, second Sunday, we're going to have just a potluck on Sunday after church. Just a little potluck, and that'll be cool. Then we'll just have a double potluck. Yeah, or we just carried over whoever wants to eat. Let it rip. Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right, Sierra. See there? You were a blessing tonight. That's right. All right. That's right. She's our shining star, and that's right. Hey, that's where you got. She's one of our missionaries to the northern part of North Carolina, the northeast part of North Carolina. That's right. Okay, ready? Y'all ready? We're gonna. You've got everybody's got your paper, right? I hope so. Now I'm not going to keep you long. I always say that, and y'all go, yeah, tell us another one. Next week we'll preach online. Okay, here we go. How long? That's right. I'm glad you did. We're still talking about the attributes of God. Now the attributes of God we've been seeing up to this point was all manifested. Y'all, right? If y'all take notes, you want to write this down. All the stuff up to now was manifested by God. Through God. Okay? Tonight we're going to talk about God's attributes manifested by God through us. Wow. There's a big difference. That before manifested by God through God, and now it's manifested by God through us. There's a big difference. I would like to be omniscient, but I'm not. There's a lot of people think they are. You ever seen anybody that knows everything? They think they're omniscient. You ever seen anybody that wants to be everywhere at all times? They think they're omnipotent. It's impossible. Okay? So, the other stuff. Now we're going to, here we go. Ready? People want to know who God is and what he does and why he does the things he does. To answer these questions, we must understand without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You've got to believe he's there. If you don't believe he's there, we're wasting our time. And again, I've heard people say, I'm an atheist. I worked with two guys that claimed they were atheists. And one guy I worked with at Procter & Gamble for years, and when I quit to go into full-time ministry, he came up to me and he said, I just want you to know something. I said, what? He said, for years, I was an atheist. He said, but working with you and watching you and watching the struggles and watching how God got you out of it, watching how you carried yourself, he said, I do believe there's a God. And then there was a guy in Benson. I was only around him for 4 years, although I still know him and I still talk to him. But he told me years ago, and he told me again last year when I stopped by to see him. I was doing the funeral for one of the people there. He told me, he said, "You know, I was an atheist." He said, "But you got me. You the Lord used you to show me that He's real." And so, people that say they're an atheist, most of the time they're really not much as an atheist as they are an agnostic. And there's a difference. An atheist believes there is no God. An agnostic believes that there is a God, but we can't communicate with Him. He just set the world in motion, set it spinning, and He went off. I know we're going to talk about this. You and I can talk about it after service, but it is agnostic. An agnostic is like, I'm trying to think of the guy's name. I can't think of it now, but he was an agnostic, and he just believed that God couldn't be touched. And then he turned around and through the years became an atheist. Atheist. A meaning no. Theist, God. No God. An agnostic is no knowledge. So, no God, no knowledge. And there is a theist, which is an agnostic. But still, Thomas Jefferson was a theist. But he believed in Jesus. Yeah. So he wrote his own Bible. He didn't write his own Bible. He took and cut out all the sayings of Jesus and posted them on paper and made a book of the sayings of Jesus, all about Jesus. And if you get to Thomas, look up when you get home. Look up Thomas Jefferson Bible, and it's all about the Gospels. Okay, so he was a theist. There's theist and there's deist, and then there's doe, a deer, female deer, ram, but. Agnostic, no, you cannot know Him. He's there, but you cannot know Him. Atheist is there is no God. All right? There's a difference. I work around people all the time. They say they're an atheist, no God, but when you get around talking to them, you find out that actually they're agnostic. They know they have no knowledge of Him. Okay? Right. Yeah, me and Eddie's had this discussion before. Last year, I think it was, year before last. And so the reason I said we'll talk about later, I didn't want to get any more just confusing than it already is. I mean, I didn't mean to sound rough to you, man. I just, man, let's not confuse the facts with more facts. You hear what I'm saying? Did that make sense? Yeah. Huh? Be a duck. Okay, be a duck. Okay, so here we go. We got to believe that God is. So you cannot be, Hebrews 11 says you cannot be an atheist and deal with God. Also, you cannot be an agnostic and deal with God, because one says, "I believe He exists." That shoots down the atheist, okay? Atheist. Remember, atheist, no God. And He rewards them to earnestly seek Him. That shoots down the agnostic, which is no knowledge. All right? So, either one of those, Hebrews 11:6 just shoots those both in the head. So, here's the moral attributes of God. The character of God relating to His creation outwardly. All right? Becoming Christ-like. God wants us all to become Christ-like. He doesn't want you to be like me. He doesn't want me to be like you. He wants us all to be like Christ. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." You know, don't follow me as me. Follow me as I follow Christ. So, becoming Christ-like, you do not take on His natural attributes or His inward characteristics. You cannot become infinite. You cannot become self-sufficient. You cannot become self-existent, omnipotent, or omnipresent. We can't. That's stuff that is manifested by God through God. Okay, manifested by God through God. He uses people when he's doing this. He's using people, because has anybody ever come up to you and said, "I just had the strangest urge to stop by and talk to you," or "I just had the strangest urge to," or "I just felt a little voice telling me you needed some help." You know, I stopped to get some groceries this morning at Walmart, and there was a lady behind me, an older lady, and she was just a chatty patty. And And of course, you know, I was trying to be quiet, right? And she had a big old cart. I'm not kidding. It was that high with stuff she had bought to put all her Christmas stuff in. I bought a Christmas tree because it's half price and all this stuff. And she said it kept falling out of her cart. And we were waiting in line. And so I reached down and picked the stuff up, put it back in. And we're talking. And as we get released, she says, I forgot what I said to her. She said, I'm just going to need help getting it in my car. And I was in a hurry. And I heard the Lord say, she needs to see grace in action. So I said, okay, I'll wait for you. I didn't know there was going to be 25 price checks. And I didn't know that she was going to drop more stuff on the floor and pick it up and roll under somewhere, and they had to chase it down. And then we go carry it out to the road. And as we're carrying it out to the road, she almost drops some more stuff. So we finally get to her car and her truck, and she opens up the back and says, you got to put down the seat. So she puts down the seat, and I said, we're going to put this here. She says, no, put it over here, which made a mess. And I just said, glory to God. Glory to God. And as I finally closed that door, I said, he set me free. Yes, he set me free. But I just said, I know, Lord, I believe with all my heart, you in your omniscience and your omnipotence, you sent me in your omniscience knowing that she was going to need me to be in front of her. And then you showed her omnipotence when she couldn't lift up the stuff and I could. You know what I'm saying? So God was manifesting himself, what he was doing for her through my actions. And y'all do the same thing all the time. You don't even realize it sometimes. God's using you to be his hand extended. You have no idea. Oh, you get aggravated there quick. And so I was trying to hurry up because I had somebody waiting on me. So I was about 20 minutes late because I spent 20 minutes waiting on helping this lady. But I believe that she needed, and I didn't even notice until I got in her truck, she was handicapped. So again, there was another thing. She weren't supposed to be doing that stuff anyway. So again, here it is. But you can take on his moral attributes, cause your prop. I'm telling you, sometimes I type when I'm asleep. You can take on his moral attributes because your promise to be conformed to the likeness, because your promise to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus or his son. And here it is. For those who God foreknew. Okay, he already knew it before you were ever born. He predestined to conform you to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And I like this. For those he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his son, and sharing inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. And I love that message version. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. Imagine that. I hear people all the time, and it blows me away, and I've even said it. It blows me away when somebody says, you know, God must have knew I was going to need that. God must have known. Or, oh, I see, God really must have known what he was doing. He did? Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so here we go. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humility he restored. We see the original and intended shape for our lives that are in him. So, this is my glasses. Yeah, I reckon I must have had something on my shirt that was greasy as I'm trying to wipe the grease off my glasses. And so I'm all just making it worse. Okay. All right. Now, so here's half of them. We're going to get the other half next week. This is, now you look, before you, just remember this, before you do anything, write down beside it, it is impossible to manifest these in our own power. It's impossible. You can't. It's impossible. Not if you're going to do it the God way. Now, you maybe can do your version, but to do God's version, you're going to have to set back and let God help you. All right, ready? So here it goes. Holy. He's holy. That word holy means pure. Set apart from and to. We're set apart from sin, and we're set apart to Him. Okay? Holy doesn't mean that you're not wearing earrings and you're not wearing makeup and you got hair down to here and your sleeves are down to there. If you look in the early Church of God, I remember I was in the Church of God and people get on me for having a beard. What would God think if you saw you in here with a beard? I'm thinking, well, His Son had one. And it had long hair and said, not only that, but if you really think about it, if you look back in the early Church of God when it first started, those were mountain men. They were mountain men. And mountain men had big old beards and long hair. So what is the deal? Well, once they got, what happened was, once the Spirit started moving, they started legislating holiness to keep God moving. And so, well, if God moves, so we're going to do this to make Him move more and do this and this. And it got to a point where they wouldn't even let guys wear neckties. One preacher even was quoted as saying, I'd rather have a rattlesnake around my neck than a necktie. Because it was sinful. Ugh. You know, that's not holy, okay? That's not holy. It's holy, all right. It's H-O-L-E-Y, holy, because it's full of holes. That's not holiness. Holiness is purity. You're set apart from sin, and you're set from sin to serve Him. Meaning, you're not doing one or the other. You got to be for one or the other, either for me or against me, okay? Now, Just as he called you holy, so be holy in all that you do. Now again, but the one who called you is holy, you yourself should be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Now, holy. Remember, you can't live this life on your own. You cannot get before God and say, okay, you know, I know somebody right now that we could be talking about a certain person in our family way on back somewhere, this person, and they'll be talking about everybody else needs to follow these rules and they need to keep themselves together and this, and then you talk about that person, they go, well, what about that person? They go, oh, that's just, we'll just say John, for instance, okay? His name's not John, but that's John. That's just the way John is. But everybody else is expected to keep a standard. Everybody else is expected to be a certain way, and you talk about John, well, that's just John. Everybody knows how John is. That's just John. So I told somebody the other day when they went that, doing it again, everybody says lived a certain life and lived a certain way and have a certain caliper of lifestyle. And somebody said, what about John? And they said, well, that's just the way, you know, that's just the way John is. I said, that's right. When he gets to heaven and God's going to look in the book of life and go, who was saved and who trusted me and who lived for me? And he goes, there was David and there was this guy and this guy and this guy. And so where's John? And he'll go, I don't see his name, but you know, that's John. That's how he is. Come on, buddy. That's not how it works. Okay? So there was a movie one time called What About Bob? Remember that movie? It's the funniest movie. Bill Murray drove the psychiatrist crazy. What About Bob? Okay, so holy. So now, one is a process. One is a lifestyle. Sanctification is the process of you getting holy. Sanctification is like taking a white shirt that's got all kinds of junk on it and taking it and dropping it in Clorox. Okay? What it does is God doesn't take you out of the world. He takes the world out of you. And it's like the process of sanctification is where He takes the world out of you. Your desires change. The way you see things change. That's sanctification, the process. Once you're sanctified, then you're going to be holy. Because it says sanctified holy. So sanctification is the process. It's the washing machine. Once it's come through the dryer, it's holy. Okay? So, or the clothesline. That's an awesome question. And I didn't shut you down that time. No ducks that time. Okay, righteous. righteous. And again, these are all kind of similar, righteous. Holy is a lifestyle. Righteous, you can just say, is sanctification is the process. Holiness is an attitude or a lifestyle. Righteousness is the acts that are made because you are holy. Okay? So, righteousness, an absolute good. Righteous are you, O Lord, and your laws are right. Psalm 119, Yeah, 119 and 137. Since he is righteous, everything he does is right, even on my behalf, and he grants his righteousness to me. And we've already talked about it. Our righteousness is his filthy rags. We can't do this. This we can't do on our own. We've got to have his help. So, we're going through the washing machine, sanctification. We're going through the dryer, and now we're getting ready to be, we were out there, here you go. It's in the closet. That's holy. Once you put that shirt on and start doing things, that's righteous, the things you do. So, and that used to be the biggest, man, it was like pulling teeth to get people to understand that, especially when all they had in their mind was that if I go to the movies, I'm going to die and go to hell. If I die in the middle of the movies, they're going to have to come get a hearse is going to come get me, but the devil's going to come get me too. One's going to get my body and one's going to get my soul. Oh, ain't fair. Oh, I've heard that, but you know what? Life ain't fair. It's nobody said, God never once said it's fair, but he's just. Now, here you go. Here you go. He is fair. Life is not fair. He is fair. He's just. There's a difference. What you consider fair might not be fair. What if God's trying to sanctify you? And in the sanctification process, you're plowing and you hit a rock. And you're trying to figure out, why is life being so hard on me right now? And God's trying to teach you something and trying to get the world out of you and keep you in the world. And he's trying to get you where he can use you to make a difference in people's lives. And so what happened to you may not be fair. Somebody, a drunk man running down the road and hitting you. And now you're maimed for the rest of your life. That's not fair. But God is just. God is fair. And so God would know that, you know what? The people you're going to minister to while you're in this condition, the people you're going to minister to once you get up on your feet again and what you're going to do. I sit right here. See that S? When I got that hit on collision down there, I was in an elevator at the hospital today, and I looked down and I saw the S. And, of course, I see that S, and I think about God saved me. He spared me. Sometimes I think I'm salvage material, you know. Every now and then, I think it stands for stink, okay? But still, when I see that, I think about, that was not fair that day, you know? And then once I got my car totaled out, the insurance wouldn't even buy me another car, and I was not even the one at fault, okay? I was not the one at fault. I got hit. That's right. That's another good one. See, I ain't starting him again. Go ahead. Let it rip. he's full of them tonight. That didn't sound right either. That's exactly right. And he's the judge. He knows what's fair. It's like it's like people, my boys coming up, I go, you're not going. It ain't fair. My grandchildren, there's two words I ask them to quit saying. One is, I'm bored. Do not say I'm bored again. You've got a Nintendo. You've got an iPad. You got an iPod. You have got, that little Emmy. Emmy got a watch for her, a little cell phone kind of deal on her arm. She's Dick Tracy now. She can talk to a few people anyway if she needs us. And then you got Netflix, and Lord knows you don't even have to play baseball, but you got a baseball, and you got a basketball, you got a basketball goal, you got a basketball court, and you're bored. Do not say that to me again. When I was your age, I feel bad that I'm saying the same thing I said I wish my daddy would never tell me again. You know, my daddy said, when I was your age, I had to walk to school 10 miles, and it was uphill both ways. You know, you hear all that. Well, I told my grandson, I said, look, When I was your age, I was excited when I got where I didn't have to use a stick out of a tree for a machine gun. And I actually got a piece of plywood, and Daddy had a jigsaw, and I cut out. Me and Joey Roberts and Mitchell Roberts and my brothers, we would go around playing with this little bitty machine gun that we made, and we thought it was the most awesome thing. We pretended. Yeah. We climbed the trees. We fell out of trees. We did all kinds of mess. We broke arms and legs having fun. It was, I mean, hey. And so, but again, I'm bored. Bless your heart. Or it ain't fair. You know, I made my son-in-law get kind of upset with me because he said something like, "You really play? You think you're gonna be able to? Can you turn that off?" But I ain't gonna say it then. You edit it. Make sure you edit this. All right. He said, "I don't know if he can handle playing tackle football." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because they're going to hit him." I said, "That's what tackle football means." And he said, "But it might hurt." I said, "It's going to hurt." I said, "But the cool thing is, once he gets the daylights knocked out of him, and all of his peers are around him, he won't cry like a little baby. He'll learn to take it and suck it up and stand up and let's go for it." I said, "He needs some toughness in his life." Not, "I'm bored. I'm bored." Okay. So, again, edit that out, because this will be the only one they ever watch. It'll be this one. You hear me? Edit this out, Eddie. Please. I'm asking. I'm begging. I'm even going to give you, I'm going to get phone calls. Now, God, there you go, thank you. God lets stuff happen to us that we don't think is fair to toughen us up. Everything that's ever happened to me, I didn't like it at the time. There's times when I'd be at work and they'd get a new piece of machinery, or they would get a new computer or get something. I remember I had just come back to the warehouse. I'd been in engineering for several years. I had to come back to the warehouse because they were getting computers and robots and they needed me there. And so there I was on my first third shift. And they had new computers, and the guys I worked with in the shop, all of them had been to a two-week class on how to work on this stuff. I get in, I haven't had the opportunity to even turn it on. It's holding up the whole process. I walk in, they say it's down. And so I said, "Well, somebody needs to fix it. Y'all been to class?" And they gave me the book and said, "You fix it." I said, "But you're the ones that went to class." And they said, "But you take care of the instrumentation and electrical. You take care of it." I said, "But this is what you've trained for." They said, "Figure it out." So it took me an hour plus. But you know what? That hour plus, I just started getting it. You know what I'm saying? And by the time next morning, I was smoking. Just pure out smoking. You know, because it was simple. Take care of it, because even though I hated it and I didn't want to be doing that and had that pressure on me that the whole plant was shut down because that computer's down, but at the same time, when by the time I got through, I was feeling a little. I was thanking God because I was praying the whole time, but also I was feeling better because now I'm learning something about this piece of machinery. So every time something happens, Brother Dudley, same way with you and your stuff over at PCS Electrical. When you got a chance to get on something you didn't understand or know at the time, once you got going, it made you feel good that now I can, you know, I'm not in the dark looking at this. Same way as y'all on your job. You know, so sometimes God's just fixing you, putting you in a position so you think you're in the dark, but you're not. He's going to enlighten you, but then he's going to use you to enlighten others. And he'll make you do it. He is just, and he is fair. Okay? And he is strict. He's a good father. So, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Psalm 89:14. So, since he is just, he knows that all his rules and judgments toward everyone, including me, are fair. They're fair. I may want to say no, but they are. They're fair. Now, if somebody else tries to dole out something, I remember Bethany got suspended off the bus for a day. Because it says she was picking on people. And I said, Bethany doesn't pick on people. She was in the seventh grade, I think. Sixth grade, seventh grade. Mom had only been dead for a while. And they said, she's picking on people. And I said, "Well, how do you know that?" The bus driver said, "I looked in the rearview mirror and I saw her reached around behind her hitting somebody." She was suspended for a day. And I said, Bethany, what was going on? She said, the guys were picking on me, Dad, and I was just telling them to leave me alone. I said, okay, well, don't just try to leave that alone, okay? So the next week, she gets suspended off the bus for 3 days. And the bus driver says, Bethany started the fight again. I said, I just don't believe Bethany started the fight. Then they come back and say, well, she's suspended for the whole year. And I said, why? And they said, because she was fighting. I said, well, I know my girl. Very strongly, I know my girl. And I said, I also realized that you have a tape system in that bus. So I want the tapes from those 3 dates, please. And show me that she started. And they said, we're sorry, Mr. Linton. The tape player does not, the reporter's not working on that bus. I said, okay. So I went to the principal's office and said, we got to talk. He said, what you need to talk about? I never met this guy before. I said, we have got a serious problem here. I said, my daughter's being tantalized and being picked on and bullied, and y'all are going to make her pay the bill. And I said, it's not going to happen. Not today. And I reckon that daddy's coming out now. And he says, well, what do you mean, sir? And I said, well, I remember when I lived in Pimlico County, there was a girl in my room that had a hook for a hand. It was a hook because her arm was gone. She just had that little hook. And I said, I watched guys. I took up for her, but I watched guys constantly pick on her. And I said, I remember they would come up behind her while the teacher's back was turned while she's writing on the board, and they would hit her and knock on her. And when she would turn around, the teacher would turn around and see her and would punish her for what those guys were doing. And I said, my daughter is not a liar. And there's other people that have seen this and told me. Said, those guys are pulling on her hair. They're pulling on her clothes. They're picking on her. And at the time, her face was flat because she hadn't had that surgery yet. I said, they're calling her all kinds of names. They're hitting on her, punching her. And when she turns around and do something, that's when the bus driver looks up and sees it. I said, so unless you have any objections, I suppose we just drop this right now. And he said, Mr. Linton. He said, I understand where you're coming from. And he said, don't worry. It's all taken care of. She can get back on the bus this afternoon. They dealt with the boys. They did a whole bunch of stuff. There was a whole bunch of stuff happened because of this. That was for good best. But again, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And so she knows daddy was there to help her. But also, I knew her good enough to know that she wouldn't do that. She'll talk now. If it's for talking, yes, Lord. She would have to walk to school every day for talking. If it's for being late, she'd have to go to school, walk to school every day. But for fighting, ain't no way. Not her. And so I did talk to her last night. She told me to tell everybody that she loved them. I didn't talk to her Christmas. They said they let her talk to me at Christmas, but she didn't. She talked to me last night. And she's supposed to call tonight and said she'd be there with her mother. Talk to her mother. If she does happen to call this phone, I'll put her on the loudspeaker and all y'all can talk to her. But she's enjoying herself. She says it is different. And I said, okay, different's good. Well, the first place she went to, there was, I think I told y'all this, there was 80 women and or girls. In her room, there was, I think she had 6 roommates, and some of them were 70 years old. And they had different kind of rules, and her counselor took care of her, but her counselor went out for double hip surgery, and when she got an intern, things changed. And so she got three disciplinary actions. And so in 1 week, which is not for anything bad, it's like bringing too many clothes, number one. Number two, sleeping in class. Number three, when her friend got dismissed, she, instead of going to do her work, she went and cried. But those three things, they weren't like she was trying to hide drugs and trying to go get, no. It was three innocent little things. But they said three and said, we've been giving you slack. So the place where she got sent to had animals. It was on a farm. She absolutely loved it. And they were more Christ-centered. The other place was still Christ-centered, but more toward AA and NA. This place was more Christ-centered with NA and AA involved in it. And she loved it, but it was temporary. Where she's at now is Christ-centered. And she's with, I forgot to ask her how many. She's within between 6 and 12 girls only. And they're in the top, the ground level. The bottom level has a daytime thing for ladies and mothers. And then across the street is alternative housing And that's a whole bunch of other women over there. But Bethany's in a smaller program. And she told me, the woman told me, said, Mr. Linton, she's not going to be, they're not going to get on her if she brings too many clothes. And she falls asleep in class. And she does it. She said, that we've got to be righteous, but there was no mercy. She said, that shouldn't have even happened. I said, well, it did. But I believe it happened so we could get her here. And so, God's just. God is fair. To some, he gave brains. To others, he gave hair. That's right. So merciful. Compassionate. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. If you'll notice, whenever before Jesus healed anybody, it always said, what did it say? He had compassion on them. You cannot see, and here's where a lot of people mess it too. These guys, these preachers, and a lot of Christians, they leave out the merciful, compassionate part. They're ready to tie you to a string and pull you behind like a June bug. They're ready to beat you up if you're not living right. But at the same time, they forget Jesus. Now, Jesus was tough on the religious folk, but when it comes to the folk that weren't religious, he was awesome, compassionate, gracious, and righteous. Yeah, so again, God is gracious. It is he who makes things right, our most compassionate God. God takes the side of the helpless. When I was at the end of my rope, he saved me. I said to myself, relax and rest. God has showed you blessings. So, since he's merciful, I know that he has compassion for me even when I fail. How many here has failed? We fail every day. And if you think you don't fail every day, that's your first failure. If you had to go by the Mosaic law and the Levitical law, it was written. I'm not talking about the ones that the Sadducees and Pharisees added. I'm talking about just the ones that are in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus, if you had to go by that law, every last one of us, at one time or another, would have been stoned. Okay? So none of us are righteous. No, not one. We have to. Because even when I fail, though, his mercy endures forever. Then long-suffering. Patient. That's what you were today, Dudley. God had to kick you in some long suffering. Amen. He had to kick me in some too, because I just turned right around when she said, I don't know if I can get this in my car. Without me even thinking about it, I said, well, I'll wait. I mean, I don't even know if I thought about it. She just went, I don't know if I can get this in my car. And before I even knew what was going on, I said, okay, I'll wait. And I pulled over to the side. I didn't know that it was going to be a sideshow. Okay. So again, God is so awesome with us. Amen. So now, long-suffering, patient. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand saying slowness. But he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but he wants all of us to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Since he's long-suffering, I know he's patient with my spiritual progress. I must not take for granted his patience by testing it with willful disobedience. You know, I'm very patient with my grandchildren. My children always say, telling my grandchildren, you know, that's not the man that raised me. They go, Papa, you're so sweet. And I even have them say, Papa, you're so sweet. What's wrong with Daddy? And I'll go, I don't know. I try to do better. And they'll go, that's not the man that raised me right there. And I think I might have told you this. I don't know. I was, you know, when DC and Daniel, I was coaching them in ball. I tell them, suck it up. Get up there. You got this. Come on now. That ball only hit you once. Get back in there. DC, you know, or Daniel, when Daniel almost got knocked out playing school ball, the guy hit him after the whistle went off. The guy hit him and knocked him from here to that wall. And we set him up against the goalpost, and he had to sit and let him get his breath back. We were playing Iron Man football. We had 11 players. That's it. And one wouldn't listen, so we took him off. So we had 10 players playing against a team that had 40 players. And so I remember that. But I remember not going. I said, Daniel, I love you, buddy, but you're going to have to get back up. So now Daniel is coaching ball with all these girls. And they're out there, and they're chasing butterflies. Emmy's out there chasing butterflies. I thought it looked pretty cool, like she was practicing trying to catch a ball. I don't know. And some of the others are standing around, and, and the ball come at them, and they just go, "Woo!" And go, "That almost got me." And so I got there, and Daniel says, "Daddy, I don't know what to do." I said, "I got it, son. Let me help you." He says, "Okay, what you got, Dad?" And I come up with this. It was black, the paint that goes on your eyes. I said, "Here, listen, we'll make them think they're tough. We're going to put some of this on." He said, "Daddy, don't put any paint on the girls." I said, "Daniel, calm down, son. It'll make them strong. It'll make them think better of themselves." He said, "Okay. But tell them not to get crazy." So I went in and said, "Here you go, Emmy. Y'all go in there and put this on your eyes. This will make you tough." And so I walked off. When I come back, they hadn't took it. You should take it like this. And that's how Sierra does it. Sierra goes like this. It makes you look rough and tough. I come back, and they draw kitty cat whiskers. And Daniel says, "Daddy, what have you done to my team? They're kitty cats." And I said, "Daniel, they're not kitty cats. They're lions. Roar!" Well, they won the game. But I think one of the things that helped, too, is that some of them decided to take it and even blacken out the end of their nose. And I got pictures of it. And I sent Bethany in to stop it. "Bethany, can you go in there and help them?" So Bethany goes in there to dugout, and she walks out, and she's got whiskers. Okay, thanks for the help, Beth. All right. But, again, Lisa and Daniel go, "That's not the man that raised me." And I go, "No, the man that raised you did the best he could under the pressure that he had as a parent." I said, "Now I get to look back, and if I could see if I could do things different, I may do it different. And also, I don't have the pressure of being a parent that you do. And so just let me go ahead, and it's a chance for me to make up for stuff. And so just let me make up for stuff." And he goes, "Okay, Dad." So, and then here it is, wise. Perfect in choices. You know, we all make, I know people that, I got people that are go-to people. When I've got a decision to make or I need to talk, I will go to them because I know they're going to tell me something wise. There's certain people I'll go to for spiritual advice. There's other people I go to for worldly advice. There's some I go to for both. But I know these are people I can talk to, and they're not just going to sit there and go, "Eeny, meeny, miny, mo." They're not going to go, "Oh, no, dude, tough luck." They're going to sit back and think about it and say, "Let me think about it for a couple of hours. Let me get back with you later on today, or get back with you tomorrow." And I know when they tell me something, it's going to make sense. I may not follow all they're saying, but at least I'll follow part of it or incorporate it with other people have told me, because that's wisdom. Well, God is wisdom. He is wisdom. So, how many are your works, O Lord, in wisdom? You made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Psalm 104, verse 24. Since he is wise, I can trust him with the decisions of my life, knowing that he shares his wisdom with me when I ask. The Bible says we see that thing, "You have not because you ask not," or "You ask amiss." We forget to put in that part about when you need wisdom. Ask for it. You know, when I feel God, when you feel it, you know God's give you that answer, or God's giving you a nugget. You know it's God. And when you get that nugget, man, it's amazing how it feels. And so again, but once, remember, all the attributes and all the stuff we talked about for 2 or 3 weeks was what God manifests through himself. Although he may use people to do it, it's still he manifests it through himself because we're not capable of this stuff. Now, this is the stuff that we are, he manifests himself through us on a daily basis. And it's awesome. It is so, so awesome. You know, it's amazing to me. Sometimes you'll be sitting trying to figure something out, and one of your grandkids come up, or some little kid will come up and go, you know, I heard about this place and it's probably just a joke, but it was told, originally it was told as the truth, where a big truck that was overloaded went up under a bridge, overhead pass, and got stuck. And they were scared they were going to tear the bridge all to pieces. They didn't know if they were going to have to jack the bridge up to get the truck out. And they had all these guys trying to figure this stuff out. And this guy rides by in his car, and he goes, "What's wrong?" He says, "We're trying to figure out how we're going to have to jack this up without disrupting traffic and get this truck moved out from under this bridge." And the guy said, "Hold on just a minute." He goes to his car, and he gets a little air checker, and he goes to the tires of the truck and lets the air out of the tires halfway, and The thing comes down. He says, now just go put some more air in the tires. Is that where it happened? Well, just know this. Every day, think about this. God, I want to be holy. It does not mean how I look. It's an attitude. Right? I want to be righteous. That's what I'm going to do. When I'm holy, set apart for Him, then I'm going to do things that please Him. I'm going to be righteous. I'm also going to be fair. I'm going to be fair, just. I'm going to be merciful, long-suffering, and wise. So it all starts up here when you're set apart from sin and set apart to God. All this stuff happens. Any questions? Don't forget, when you get that part, take it out. It'll be the first time they've ever watched a Tuesday night service. I don't want any of my kids to see it because they'll know who I'm talking about. And they'll get on the phone and say, you know what Dad said tonight about your son? It ain't about my son. It was about my son-in-law. I mean, not about my son, grandson, my son-in-law. Okay. And I don't want that told either. Okay. All right. Eddie the editor. That's right. Well, I don't realize I'm being recorded. I just begin. All right. So here we go. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you, Lord, that this coming year is going to be an awesome year. 2017 is just going to be an awesome year. And we say it every year. This could be the year the Lord comes back. I'm going to say it again. This could be the year the Lord comes back. But if He don't, we need to still be ready. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Yeah, come on back, Lord. Woo, has it been a year? Yes, it's been a year. Wow. You don't remember that. Okay, hold on a minute. The latest